This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper, and on the phone with me I have Debbie Jaquetta, president of Jaquetta Sweeping Service, located near Salt Lake City, Utah. They are our contractor of the month for September 2011. Welcome and congratulations, Debbie, and look forward to hearing more about your company.
Thank you.
I know that you are have been in the industry, some would say forever.
Yeah.
You grew up in it with your parents' company. You are a former president of what is now NAFSA. At the time it was called the Contractor Sweeping Institute, as I recall, when they were part of APWA there for a little while. But if you would do so, please tell me and our listeners about how you got into the business, maybe any anecdotes growing up, but you know, and also where you are today and how the business operates.
Okay. I grew up in the business. It was run from our home. And so my dad started sweeping parking lots part-time. And so we always had sweepers parked in the yard. And it was when I made new friends, it was always easy to tell them I lived at the house where the sweepers were. By the time I was in high school, he built a shop and kind of had outgrown the house. But before that, you know, I'd help my mom with the bookwork, and it was always around the house, and I was interested in learning and in helping out. But I had never considered it as a career or, you know, anything along those lines, which I tell my kids now, if you don't make a decision, if you don't pick a career, you'll end up in the family business. But I went to work at one of the local department stores after high school, and with no intentions of ever coming back here, but life changes, I guess. I got married and had a baby, and about that time, my mom was getting burned out on doing the bookwork, and I decided to come in, and I could bring my baby and help my dad with the business. So I did that a couple days a week, and about that was about the time that the association, there were a group of guys forming an association, which I think it was NCSI or NCSA, I don't know, something way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they would send out information, and they had a new sweep magazine, and it would have stories about other contractors. And that was kind of what got me interested. I realized that this was a pretty good business, and there were a lot of other, you know, a lot of big businesses throughout the country that were doing what we were doing, and kind of that's when we began to get involved in that, which helped us grow, and just I grew along with the business and the association.
Well, and you have another generation that's kind of moving on in that direction now and probably saying, you know, look, Mom, I'm not going to be in the business.
Yeah, I have a couple of kids that I've had. My older son has worked with me on and off. And then I have a daughter who's had nothing to do with the business and doing well. And I have a 15-year-old son that, as he watches me run around in the middle of the summer, has told me that he's not going to do it. So, which is fine, but we'll see what happens, I guess. You never know.
Well, see what happens when he goes out and tries to get a job, too.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, paying what, you know, the business
yeah.
would pay. That's part of it as well. Talk about, if you would, what services you provide there.
We do parking lot and street sweeping. I mean, that's probably 99% of what we do. We also have a scrubber. I work with some subcontractors for power washing and striping as needed.
And what's your mix, would you say, between parking lot and street these days? Do you do more of one?
We're probably doing about 20% parking lots and 80% street sweeping.
Have you been hit with the aggregator proliferation?
I mean, I've not, again, since I'm not that big in the parking lot end, I haven't done any Walmarts or Targets, or I've had a few jobs here and there with them, but not a lot. And I work with a lot of, I belong to Irem and Boma, and work more with the property managers who are managing more centers. We also do a lot of kind of the industrial areas. I find there's less competition and a lot more profit there.
Well, I think that does you know, makes sense given what's going on with the aggregators and so forth. Talk about working with these or belonging to these kind of outside associations. How does that really help? I get that question quite a bit. Will it help me to join BOMO? Will it help me to join a chamber or Better Business or whatever? What's your experience been through the years?
Well, I think as with anything you join, I mean, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So at the very minimum, you need to attend their monthly. They have monthly luncheons, so you have an opportunity to go and meet people there. The downside with, and some of them are worse than others, is that, I mean, almost every time I go, half the table is other vendors and not property managers.
Uh-huh.
So you want to make sure you're in one, and usually they're limiting it to some degree, but it seems like everybody's kind of figured that that's a good place to meet people. But beyond that, some of them have a lot of committees. And again, I mean, it's taking your time, but you'll get to know them on a more personal level if you join and participate in some of the committee work that they have.
Well, it stands to reason that if there are other vendors there from your industry even, and everybody has a table, that they're going to at least choose from among those that they get to know at the meetings and so forth. So if you're not one of the people in the mix, then you're really not going to have an opportunity.
Yeah, and even if you just, I mean, you know, most of them are always already working with the sweeping company, but that might even get your foot in the door the next time they rebid their properties or if something comes up with their current contractor and they've at least heard of you when they go to look for somebody else.
Well, and everything is ultimately is personal. You know, there's that adage about, you know, business is business, but each individual business transaction typically has a personal basis. And so anytime you can have a personal relationship with someone, you know, while you're sitting next to them at lunch, it sure makes for a better opportunity to be in business, unless you spill your water on them or some such thing. And what ones do you believe are BOMA, you said, and what was the other?
IREM.
IREM, which is, do you know what that acronym is?
Institute for Real Estate Management.
Right. And both of those are parking lot related.
Right.
Is there anything out there, do you belong to APWA, for example?
I don't belong to APWA. I belong to the AGC, the Associated General Contractors, and ABC, the Associated Builders and Contractors, I think. And I don't get quite as much from those groups. I mean, they don't meet. They don't have monthly meetings. So they'll have a couple opportunities a year, or sometimes they have a magazine. But I think that some of it has to do with the contractor business. And, I mean, in the middle of July, most of them, especially the road builders, don't have time to go to lunch. So I debated even dropping one or both of those. Both of them offer a discount on my workers' comp, which is one reason I've stayed with at least one of them to get that done. So, and sometimes any of those will have it. They have other discount programs that you can participate in as well. But it hasn't been as good as IREM and BOMA as far as meeting potential customers.
Are there any tips or tricks, techniques that you would offer in terms of running your business? You grew up watching how your dad did it and your mom. Now you have, I'm sure, built upon that and the things that they did. Are there things that are emerging that you think are more important these days than used to be?
Well, I think for me, the one thing I've done, and I mean, I know there are a lot of them out there now, is I've got a business coach, and I hired a CFO guy. I think you need to know what you don't know, and sometimes when you're your own boss, it's easy to get just kind of bogged down in the details, or if you don't have somebody to push you or help you, you know, set your goals and then follow through.
I think that makes real good sense. There's so much complexity these days to what's out there,
right,
in terms of what to know and what to spend your time on, and
yeah,
and so forth.
Now, I think you can get your business to a certain point, and you're just kind of stuck there if you don't go out and find somebody that can help you move past that.
Mm-hmm. How do you, when you need employees, how do you advertise for them these days?
Oh, advertise everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have an unemployment, Utah Job Service. I list it there, and then I usually put it on Craigslist, and we have another local website here that a lot of people go through, but usually on the web as many places as I can put it.
And that's do you think Craigslist is really the place to go these days, or is that not work for you?
I don't, and sometimes it changes, within a time frame. I mean, the last time I went there, I didn't quite get as much. I mean, if you're looking for an administrator, it's a great place to go. I haven't had quite as good a luck looking for drivers or operators. I mean, sometimes it's been kind of hit and miss. That's why I go to, my local job service is usually a pretty good place to get drivers.
Well, that's the old place to get them, and it's good not to forget about that, because there are a lot of people out there going in, that are really trying to get a job,
right,
that are there. Do you compensate your drivers hourly or incentive?
I just hourly.
Mm-hmm.
I come up with incentive plans, but I'm not using anything right now. I haven't really found anything that I felt, that I felt really gave them the incentive and worked to get what I wanted from them as well.
Mm-hmm. And how about if they bring in business?
If they bring in business, I'm trying to especially get the night drivers to really watch as they're out and about and they see either a new building going up or a new center, any new construction or possible, and we've just kind of started this. I have them pass that along to me, and so I can start looking into who it is. I'm giving them and nothing has amounted out of it yet. I haven't really turned anything into a job yet, but a lot of it would depend. I'm willing to give them something based on what type of if we can get it. If it's a once a month sweep or if it's a couple of times a week sweep, depending what it is, but they're out. I do the sales. I don't have a salesperson either, so they're out a lot more than I am, and I just realized put more eyes out there, and it might give me a little more, because it's easier to get on something new than something that's been there for a while.
Well, and we always talk about how, you're the eyes and ears of the property manager, and
right,
we just as well be the eyes and ears of the person who's providing you with a paycheck as well.
Yep.
So I think that makes real good sense to do. Are property managers wanting more than they used to? And here's where I'm headed with that. I know that you're one of those, we do sweeping right kind of companies, where really what you do is sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, has been a movement over the last 10 years, I think, into broadening a marketplace and doing, many things. And one of the problems that comes up there is that, you move to where you don't do anything quite as good as you used to, but now you stripe and you seal coat and all of these things that you may not do very well, but you do it. And you may, put the education and training and equipment in motion to really do those things right. But is there more of a movement by property managers, do you think, to want those kinds of services? Have you had to deflect that? And if so, how do you do it?
I haven't got a lot of them asking us to do other things. I think they usually, kind of still know the one thing where I seem to have the most interest is in, when I've offered to do striping for them, or I'll put a little flyer out that and then I work with my striper because I don't do it myself. But I think most of them, still kind of have their again, because I'm working more on the local level, too, with just the Irem and Boma members. So most of them have been around, and they have their asphalt guy and their window guy, and, you know, but striping might be something they're not doing as often, so if I put it out there, they've been a little more interested. I do have some of them that, you know, you were talking about mostly being the sweeping contractor. I mean, I tell my guys I want to be the contractor that does the detail work. And so occasionally, I mean, we'll get a couple of these guys that are real picky. And that's not a bad thing, I tell them. These are the guys that are helping us do the job that we want to do for everybody. And so I just, you know, they know. I usually will put it on there, this guy's picky, and it's not a bad thing. It's just I want you to know that this guy's going to make sure you're doing your job, and this is how we want it done.
Are there any other things that you do today that you didn't do, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Do you use any internet resources, Google Maps or...
The Google, just to show them, it's a lot easier to show them what you want them to do without having to actually take them to the job. So, yeah, we do Google Maps, or we can get them the directions when they don't know where they're going. And then we also have a GPS, so once they're there, we can tell if they miss something or... And again, I try, you know, tell them I'm just trying to help them do their job. It's not that I want to make sure they know what's in, you know, there's certain jobs like I know are confusing and it's hard to tell what we're doing there and what we're not. So all that has come along within the last 5 years. And I'm not very techy, you know, so it's pretty simple. I'm sure if we were better at it, we could do a lot more with it.
Well, it really can add some economies of scale to your business to not have to go out to all your locations with the driver. That
right.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's much easier. And just, I mean, even if they miss something, I can just print out the map. Even if I've gone out there and I, you know, met with the owner and I said, okay, this is what you missed, and I can just draw it on the map. You know, I don't need to go back and do the whole thing. I only want you to do right here or whatever it is.
When you installed your GPS, did that seem to make a very big difference in terms of how fast people went and how efficiently they did their job?
I don't think so. I mean, I know the biggest thing when we installed, I mean, you know, when we first put it in, everybody's always upset about it. The guys that are there, and there's certain guys that are just, usually you'll end up, eventually you'll lose them, that they just don't like the idea of it. I don't remember... I mean, you know, and everybody has a story. The main thing I remember about when we put it in, I kept talking about we were doing it, and I had a Bosnian guy working for me at the time that was probably the most vocal critic about having us put it in, and why did we do it, and we're doing everything, and I'm, you know, I kept saying it's just, you know, it's not only for me. I want the owners to know that you're there, and I can, you know, it's for safety, and we'll see your speed, and. It helped us with our route scheduling, and, you know, there was all these reasons why we were going to do it. And the very first night, he went home for an hour. And I don't think he knew what we were talking about. I mean, the next day, I'm like, you know, this is telling me that you went home, and he kept denying it, that he hadn't gone home. And then finally, he's like, okay, but that's the first time I've ever done it. And I'm like, obviously, he didn't know what we were talking about.
Obviously not. Well, I know at the NPE, everybody talks about these different stories that have risen with GPS. So.
Yeah, everybody has one. But the main thing I noticed about it is that it helped us with our route scheduling. It was easier just to kind of get in there and see. Sometimes you don't really realize how close they were or where we're at. And at the time, I don't remember it making a big difference in time or anything.
Mm-hmm. Or overtime or anything like that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's because I still had, I mean, some guys, you still got the guy that's just the fast guy, and you got the slow guy.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to merge the two, but it's always there.
Do you run two operators in your vehicles or just one?
No, just one. Occasionally, I mean, sometimes there's a certain job that I might send two trucks to for whatever reason, but they're all just one.
Let's move over to street sweeping. You're in Utah. How about stormwater runoff pollution and NPDES and those different things that are going on?
It's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's, you know, you still got the contractors. I mean, there's the ones that do it and know they have to do it, and they call and schedule you, and then there's still a couple that, you know, don't want to do it or are, you know, so there's the guys that call at the last minute when the job's going to get shut down, but for the most part, it's helped us out.
Are sweepers required to be on a job site of a certain size when construction's being done like it is in California, or do they just need to call you as needed?
Well, they're supposed to, I mean, they have to have a plan for cleaning the street, and it doesn't necessarily, they're supposed to clean it like every 2 weeks, or but they don't necessarily have to have a street sweeper. I mean, so they can do, they have their plan. Then occasionally, I think there's certain inspectors, I guess, and maybe depending what they're doing, if they're doing a concrete pour, or for some reason they got a lot of trucks running in and out, or it rained, or then that's when we'll get real busy. But they kind of have an option as to what they're doing. The bigger ones are just, scheduling their sweeper and having us come in.
And have there been any other changes in the street sweeping arena and construction that you've seen in recent years, a movement from broom to air or anything like that?
You know, we still do a lot of sweeping for milling operations, and so, I mean, the brooms are mostly what we're using. I have a couple of air sweepers that I use on cities that we contract with, but even some of the cities now are wanting the high dumps, so we end up taking our brooms in for those. But yeah, mostly broom sweepers for me.
So they want you to high dump into dump trucks on the job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even if I have an air truck, it's not. You know, I have an airport contract this year, so that's good for the air sweepers. But sometimes, I mean, last year, actually, we're having a great year. This is the first time in 2 years that I've had all my street sweepers out running. For the last 2 years, I had one that I didn't even license that was an air sweeper because we just weren't doing that much work. But we've had a great year, so they're all out and running.
And what is your fleet? What brands have you chosen?
I have my parking lot sweepers are all Timcos. I have a 210 and 435, and then we use Elgin Road Wizards, and I have one Broom Bear and a couple of Crosswinds. All the street sweepers are Elgins.
So you're able to handle pretty much anything that comes up with that kind of a product mix. There's no question.
Yeah, we. Right, and then I have a little warehouse sweeper, too, for the little parking structures that we can't get into, or an occasional warehouse.
Okay. Are there any other aspects of the business that you think are noteworthy that you have discovered? You've really covered a lot of ground here. I don't know that there would be something else. But
I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Well, I very much appreciate your time, and you're certainly one of the premier contractors, out there in terms of professionalism and longevity. And
you're saying I've been around a long time?
I'm saying you're old, just like me, I guess. You know, as an anecdote, before we got on the recording here, Debbie and her husband were at NPE when their last child was born. I guess it would be your last child. I don't know. And it's been quite a while, but, I thought, probably 6 or 7 years. So I jokingly said, they're probably 14 by now. And she said 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you remember me carrying him, pushing him around in that little stroller?
I think I do. I maybe even remember you pushing him around while you were inside your body. It's been very enjoyable through the years seeing you at the shows, and I thought you were a very capable leader of the trade association, sweeping trade association at the time as well. You were very effective And that was a commendable thing, too. So I don't know how you haven't been one of our contractors of the month before now. You certainly deserve to be right up there at the top, and as you are in the Utah marketplace. So,
well, I appreciate that.
Well, absolutely. Well, congratulations. And again, we've been speaking with Debbie Jaquetta, who is the president of Jaquetta Sweeping Service. They're located in the outskirts of Salt Lake City, Utah, and they are the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for September 2011. Thanks again, Debbie.
Thank you, Ranger.